Bonnie's gonna hide back there, I guess. Okay. Okay. Bonnie was spent a lot of time in this conference once upon a time. Well, actually, you both did out in Napanee, but Bonnie, you spent a lot of time at Valley Chapel as well. Your dad was the pastor there. Bonnie's a schmucker. They have good English names like Yoder and Schmucker. So Ralph, tell us about yourself and your family and what's going on, and give us the word. Thank you.
I do that. Mm-hmm. Is it on or is it okay? Wasn't sure. Guess I got to do the other thing too here. Hit the on button. Can't see. Okay. Hey, there we go. All right. Yeah, like I said, originally from, I was born and raised in Indiana. What we do out there, what the Overcomers, to kind of give you a background, we are an alcohol and drug recovery program, a 90-day residential. It's kind of funny, you guys got me out there. I was an addict for 10 plus years. Addiction can hit anybody. It is not a respecter of men. I don't care what income level you're at, what color you are, what culture, I don't care. If it gets a hold of you, it will not let go. And I was 10 plus years. And 30 years ago, I was raised in the church. I mean, I was raised Mennonite. Every Wednesday night, twice on Sundays. As soon as I started using when I was 13. By the time I was 16, I was dealing. And I was going to be, I'm out of there. I had all the knowledge up here, but there was nothing here. It was totally empty. And 30 years ago, I'd cry out to God. I cried out to God and asked, if you're real, I need help. And I tell guys in the program, be careful what you ask God for, because you just might get it. I was arrested 2 days later. And at that time, I'm thinking, God doesn't care. Doesn't really, he's not concerned about me, because I'm still in the mess I'm in. And it wasn't until April of that year when I got sentenced to 4 years. Second week in April, sitting in an 8x10 cell by myself, he shows up. And that changed my life. Realized that I was worth something, that he did care for me. Walked with me my entire incarceration, and I look back now on that, and I realize, had I not been arrested, I'm not standing here. I'm dead. I mean, that's where it is. And he called us out there 15 years ago. Bonnie knew that's where we're going to be, but of course I had to realize it, because I'd never been out there. Never been out to New Mexico. Never been out to the Michigan. And of course, got to go out there and make sure that's not where God wants me, right? that kind of mindset, because I thought I was pretty much content there in New Paris. But as we're going out there, the closer I got, the more I felt like I was going home. And the day we set foot on the grounds, it was like I'm home. And we went back up, put the house up for sale, packed up, and inside of 8 months, 9 months, we moved. Been out there ever since. That's who we are. We're trying to help men overcome addiction. And to give you an idea, did I get the right one? This is a little bit of our history. Back in the early 90s, Marion Heisey was the director of the mission out there. It was no longer, the school was no longer there, the hospital was no longer there. Really wasn't a whole lot going on the mission grounds, and Marion seen the need. So he gave birth to the Overcomers in 97, became an outpatient program. Very, very minimal success. And then in 2000, it became the 90-day residential. And you can see there, it actually moved up. It became its own corporation in 2002 and actually works separately from the mission itself. Even though we're operating on the grounds, it works separately. We went out there in 05, and always wanting to improve, always wanting to reach more. And we had a great success rate in the 60s, 70%. My concern is the ones that we weren't getting to. And like I said, to be 29 years. It'll be 29 years that I've been out, 29 years that I've been clean. And again, the only reason is God himself, is Christ, and a relationship he's brought into me. And that's when this vision really began to, he put that in me. For a ranch, for a long-term facility, for a year-long recovery. And that's what this is all about, is we're moving from the 90-day, what the overcomers is, to a full year. And you can see the reason why. The national average for substance abuse, and this is just traffic fatalities, mind you, for every 100,000 residents in this country, there are 3 deaths per year. You know, think about it, there's 360 million people in this country. So it gets fast. So for every 100,000, there's 3 deaths. You get into New Mexico, it goes up to over 6. You get into our area, it goes up over 12. And you see there 2 years ago, over 14. It's almost 5 times greater in our area. This year is, oh man, it's hit it hard. Because of COVID, because of the isolation. Since the isolation hit in Farmington alone, there's been 11 suicides. 4 of them are teens. I don't know how many unsuccessful. We know of one. We got a past graduate that just before we went on the road, his mother called us and he was in ICU. He tried to kill himself because of the lack of hope. We were created to be in community. God wired us that way. And if that's taken away from us, detrimental effects are going to happen. Because it's easy to lose hope. When we're fighting an enemy, very powerful enemy, one that we can't see, but it's a smaller enemy. But a way a smaller enemy, if you got a smaller unit, the way you defeat a larger one is you divide and conquer. Government did that for them this year. Put everybody in their own little place, and all you got to do is start picking each one off one at a time. And that's what's happening out there. So the need is so much greater now than before. This is our plan. Oops, missing some things here. There we go. Ah, there we go. First of all, of course, the restoration of the men. Jesus came to restore us. Restoration of the land, you know, those who call by my name, if they pray and humble themselves, I will hear them and I will heal their land. Because again, we are, whether we want to believe or understand it or not, we are tied to the creation itself. We come from it. So whatever happens to us affects everything else. And of course, and this is what makes us so much different than any other program out there, is our focus as the overcomers, and with this especially, is relational. Rebuilding that relationship. Again, when I walked out, I was lucky enough to have family and friends that were there for me, that helped me walk that path. Because I think, like I said, God showed up in my jail cell, I said, but I wasn't no saint. I had to learn, I had to walk that walk. It took me 20, 30 years to get where I was. It wasn't gonna happen overnight walking back out. I needed that help. So that's what our whole focus is. Again, the body is designed for that. That when one part of it is injured, one part is hurting, the rest of the body steps in and compensates. Even to the point where you'll injure another part of your body, favoring one that is injured. That's just the way we work, and that's the way the whole body works as well, and that's what we're here for. Okay. Is it working? There we go. Some of the men, what we want. Return to Hojo. Again, I don't know a whole lot of Navajo. I do know more than the way I used to when we first got out there. But Hojo was the first word I ever learned. First word that just grabbed me and held on to me. And what Hojo means, painting a picture. It would be what the garden was before the fall. Perfect harmony. Everything's in perfect balance. You know, we're doing, and that's what we're trying to do, is trying to get back as close as possible to that point with these guys. And it comes, again, comes from the culture. And it's a holistic thing. Not just the physical. The physical aspect of addiction, you're over it inside of 4 days, or 40 days. Your body no longer needs it. There is no chemical desire, no need, nothing medical after 40 days because it's out of your system. It takes the rest of your life to change this up here. Like I said, I've been out 29 years and I still on occasion, depending on what happens, will have a thought that comes back that, you know, I used to. So it doesn't ever go away. That's why we need the community to walk together. Emotional, mental. Again, addiction is it's a coping mechanism. When life hits us hard, again, it doesn't have to be substance abuse. It can be food. It can be jobs. It can be power. It can be pornography, whatever it is. When life hits us square in the face, an addiction is what we go to cope with it. All right? And what does Jesus say? Though come to me, those who are tired, burdened, and I'll give you rest. As an addict, that's a coping mechanism. But I'll tell you right now, it's the best coping mechanism that's ever been created, personally, because you go there no matter what happens, no matter what the chaos is in life, he gives you a calmness, a peace to walk through it. That's what is about this. And again, to give you an idea of how bad the situation, those guys up there, six of them we've buried over the last several years. Just this year before we went on the road, three of them within 2 weeks. Two of them 3 days apart. That was a tough week. That was a gut punch. This year, like I said, it's been tough. But we do have some celebration as well because three of them on there are actually in school, in college right now. One of them's got one degree going after a second. So one of them up there is an ordained minister, has a degree in pastoral counseling, is going after his master's in theology right now. So for those we've lost, we have those we have fun. So that, and he's actually planning on coming back and working with us. Again, I don't know if I'm there. I got to point that way. Okay. But what we want to do is teach these guys how to walk. Again, it's about giving them something to hang on to, something solid to walk with and continue. Like I said, we've had over the past several years, we've had 5-6 guys get their GEDs. Like I said, we've had 3-4 guys that have gone into college. That's what we want to teach them. How to grow their own food, how to sustain themselves through greenhouse growing. Solar, we want to do solar. Teach these guys small-scale solar electricity. Again, food handling, livestock handling, maintenance, business management, but then also leadership development. We want these guys to continue on. The idea of what the ranch is going to be is we're going to try to be self-sustaining as much as possible. But we want to teach these guys while they're there not only what it takes to walk out of an addiction, to walk with them out of that addiction, but we want to teach them as well employable skills. But also any one of these, they can go out on the reds in their own homestead where there is no water, no electricity, have a small-scale solar, 4 or 5 panel system there, greenhouses where they can grow their own produce. Livestock. They can sustain themselves out on the reservation. Give them a purpose. Give them direction. But also, with the solar stuff like that, they're through the tribe because the tribe is even working there, possibly starting their own business to where then they can help elders stall their own solar or whatever, be subsidized through the tribe. So we're trying to give them something for the future, hope for the future. Big, like I said, leadership development. My ultimate goal is to find somebody to replace me. I know it sounds crazy, but praying myself out of a job is what I've been trying to do. So, but the idea is guys that have come through after the first year, if they want to continue, we'll make crew leaders. And those guys that have come through then become crew leaders of the new guys coming in. So they become mentors. Because I'll tell you the best way, and that's what 12-step is all about. That's what Celebrate Recovery is about. It's not about getting that point of recovery. It's about helping the next ones come. That's how you maintain recovery. And that's what the idea there. Because we've had guys after the 90 days, because 90 days ain't long enough. It's a boot camp, believe me. They've had, you know, they don't want to leave. They've never experienced what they've experienced there. As we bring them in, we tell them, you know, you come in as strangers, but you leave as family. And while we've been on the road these 3 weeks, we have about 5-6 guys that we haven't heard from, and some of them for years. Just, well, I was thinking about you. And I had one guy, he's actually back in jail, goes, open up a Bible, and I saw your phone number there, so I had to call you, you know. And he's doing great. He just, you know, stumbled, you know, mixed up, but he's back here. But it's great to hear those kind of, you know, those kind of calls. That they're, you know, we've imprinted ourselves on them enough that no matter what's happening, they'll reach out because they know they know they can. Counselors, again, I don't have. I mean, I'm not. I don't have any letters after my name. I'm not anything special. I haven't, you know, gone through schools of years and years of counseling and then all the testing and everything else. I was simply crazy enough to say yes when God asked me. it comes from the street, and over the years, I've realized over the past 15 years, that's the way God has redeemed my past. Because my weakness has become my strength now. Because I have that in common with these guys. I may not be Native American or whatever, Hispanic or whatever culture else we got coming in, I do come from that culture of addicts, from the culture of jail. And if anybody's been behind, it is a different culture, believe me. So I relate to them at that level, and it seems they respond to that. Because I don't know anybody else, if you've ever heard that when you're going through something, somebody tells you, I know exactly what you're going through. And you know they haven't. You just kind of shut it off, don't you? Guys are the same way. But when I know exactly where it is, and that's why I tell them, like, this is how I've come out. I tell them my story. I don't pull any punches. I tell them my story. This is who I was. This is who I am. And the reason I'm where I'm at now is because of Jesus. And I give them that opportunity. I don't thump them on the head. You know, I just don't require to be baptized, but I just, this is the way I came out. If you want to walk that path, I'm right beside you. And that they respond to that. Because to me, in Scripture, that's one of the best witness stories I read, is that blind man. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they're just dinging him. You know, trying to get him to badmouth Jesus. And he finally got to that point, and he says, look, I was blind. I can see now. He did it. You make the choice. And he walks out. So says, yeah, that would have been me. he's the one that did it. And some guys grasp it, some guys don't. But we're planting seeds, and we never know where it's gonna come. So we want those kind of guys to be counselors, and we got one gentleman that is now. He already has a degree in business management. He's on his way getting his LADAC, and hopefully we can get him back into our program to be our counselor then. He's Navajo as well. And of course, the last thing is my job. That's the ultimate goal, is for Native American leadership, because that is who we help most out there. Not just Navajo. We've had people from many different tribes. We've had white guys. We've had Hispanic, but the majority of them is Native American. So that there's the leadership we want to bring in, because there is still not a disrespect, but what's the word I'm thinking of? All of a sudden, it just left me. It's a problem of trust, trusting the white man. Some of it's spoken up, but a lot of it's unspoken, but it's just there. And that's something that I've got to work through that barrier. Like I said, when I tell my story, it usually, oh, okay, he understands where I'm coming from. But with Native leadership, that barrier's not there. That doesn't have to be. So that's why we want, you know, the ultimate is give it back to them. Give it to the Native leadership so that, again, they would get some more support from the tribe. Because, again, we being white folk, we can't walk into the tribal government and ask for, you know, we need this and need this and need this. And, you know, they just kind of look at us kind of funny, you know. So that's part of it. But, again, it's all about creating this community of addicts, helping each other. I don't want to use the word commune. I mean, it's got a bad connotation in it. That's but it's a community where these guys are helping each other. It's a place of refuge. If guys, because again, it's a journey. You're going to stumble on it. I know people who have been, you know, sober for 15, 20 years, and something immediately happens and they're back in it. You know, it can happen at any time. And that happens out there. That we want to create this place to where if that does happen, they know there's a place of refuge, a place of welcome. They can just come. Because, again, when you make the mistakes, you don't have to start over. Just pick up where you're at and keep going. That's what these guys, you know, are trying to understand. I mean, and that's what this whole thing about is working on that. When it comes to the land, this is kind of what we're looking at. It's kind of a mock-up of an idea of using the land where part of it would be for the recovery side of it, but then there's also part where we're, like I said, raising our own crops, greenhouse growing, solar electricity production, livestock production. The idea is then become as self-sufficient as we possibly can. And bring the overhead of everything down as low as possible. 2-3 acres of solar energy, we could create more than what we need, sell the rest back to the power company, creating an income. The livestock, the greenhouse growing, whether it's herbs or produce, whatever, but then having a small farm store to where whatever extra we have, we can sell back to the community, or if necessary, because we do this all the time, if there's a family in need, we just give it to them. Again, working with the community as a whole, with the meat as well. Dealing with, get a lot of our guys, I've met some of the most amazing artists I've ever met come through that program. I got this one gentleman, and he still struggles. But probably the greatest, one of the best portrait artists I've ever seen. He gets done with the picture and it looks like a photograph. It's just amazing. We've had guys, one guy come to Kilson, Bilson was his name. He actually has a picture standing in between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Pan Driver because he did a project for them. You know, I mean, just amazing artists, sand paintings, just unbelievable. But for most of them, the only time they ever do it is when they're locked up. They're forced into that stillness, you might say. And what comes out is just amazing. And they do it while they're programmed. So again, most of these guys, they can't afford the program when they come into it. The 90-day program, we only ask $1,500 for the 3 months. Most of these guys can't do that. I think in the 15 years out there, we've probably had 5 or 6 guys that could actually pay their bill. But we're not out there for the money. I mean, we're in the wrong business if that's the case. But so this is an avenue for these guys to earn, you know, whatever, and that's what's back around the table. The crafts they make, then we sell that, take that off their bill. It's a way for them to put into it. And any other way we do it, we do community work days where we go out and do work projects. And we don't charge any, we tell them, you know, whatever, and if they want to give to the overcomers a donation for the what they did, and then we split that up and take it off the guy's bill. Whatever we can do. And again, it's about recovery. These guys have never experienced this. It's funny to see a lot of times when they get to that point, because as an addict, you're always thinking somebody's out to get you. And when they start getting, you know, their first response is, hey, what do you want? And when we first tell them, nothing. We don't want anything. Just we want to walk with you. You know, it's, you see the light bulbs start going off in their head. That's when, you know, that's the, when you see, when you, but that's the whole thing of Hope and Redemption Ranch. Is we want to give hope to the hopeless. And show a path of redemption to those who think they're irredeemable. Because again, I can only say for myself, when you're in the midst of that addiction, like I was just surviving from day to day. I'd wake up, you know, go to bed at night, really not looking forward to tomorrow, really not wanting to get through tomorrow, hoping that I don't. And when you get to that point, to where you've lost hope, it is a very small step to end it. And I've been in those points. It's not a good place to be. And that's what we want to give these guys. We want to show there is a way out. There is hope. There is somebody who cares. There is a God who, greater than us, who has a purpose for you. And that's what the ranch is all about, is getting to that point. And it comes through relationships. We want to increase the church involvement, not only across the country, but in our area as well, local involvement as well, with families, with churches, with chapter houses, businesses, because it is a huge, huge problem across this country. To just throw a number at you right now, for you to think about, is why we're sitting here. There's at least one person that will die in this country. At least one, if not more, as a direct result of substance abuse. Every 40 to 45 minutes in this country. That's how bad it is. And, you know, though you got these people in Washington want to argue about things. To me, if somebody's dying every 45 minutes, to me, that's a pandemic. I just had to put that out there for me. That's just, it's personal for me. I'm passionate about this. Like I said, I was there. Every time we bury somebody, I can't help but ask God, you know, why them and not me? Why am I still alive? I shouldn't be, but I am. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. But that's still always there because I was there. But this is the main focus. And again, we are so much different than any other program out there. Because at the center is the only thing that matters. Everything else is a byproduct. It's when we come into harmony, when we come into focus, when we have that relationship with God, with Christ, everything else then begins to come into focus. Everything else becomes balanced. The way it kind of explained it. If you've ever seen that there, like the vaudeville actor, where the dude's trying to spin all those plates up on the stage, running all over the place. That's kind of what life is like without God. And you run all over, eventually they all start falling. And that's why I explained to guys, when you got Christ at the center of your life, you can just stand back because he's doing all the spinning. You know, everything comes into grasp at that point. And even in the midst of this year, like I said, it's been discouraging this year. It's been problems. But because of COVID, we had all this stuff planned at the beginning of the year. We laid it all out because Keith is actually on our board. And we had all these grandiose plans of what we was going to do at the beginning of this year. And that old joke is, you want to see God laugh or hear God laugh, just tell him your plans. Because everything's shut down. And about all we did this year for most of the year is just watch sagebrush change colors. Couldn't get in the jail to talk to any guys, couldn't do anything. Very discouraging, so we're on the road. Now, a way to help, personally, and we've talked about it, maybe, is prayer. If you want to come out and volunteer, time. pray about it. We want you out there because God has asked you out there. We want you out there because you have that heart. And we've had people out there that it was their bucket list item. Guys don't respond to that. They want authentic. We're planning on running a spring this session. We do need a couple to come out and be home living coordinators. We got information back here for that. Giving to the program, like I said, what we're on the road doing, we're looking to raise $300,000. At this point, so we've been on the road, we're at 40. Or just a hair over 40, I think. I don't know. On that point there. So we've got pledge cards back here if you want to just pledge something towards the ranch. But we only want to pray about it and seek God's answer on that one as well. As far as churches, you know, make this corporate prayer. We can't do what we do. We're not going to win this fight without prayer, because that unleashes God's power in this world. And what we're trying to do in the vernacular of a war, we are in the midst of the enemy's territory, and we're trying to create a beachhead to where then we can go out and retake that which the enemy has claimed. So that's, you know, or commit financially. It's up to you. Again, prayer. As a business, consider partnering with us. Consider, you know, sponsoring one of our clients. Things along that line there. But this is what it's all about. Like, for 15 years, we have been doing this. So, but that is, and all we're asking, will you invest in the lives of the men and their families? For 30 years, like I said, when God showed up, I made the promise to him that, you know, I'm going to go where he asks. I'm going to do where, and I will charge the gates of hell if that's where he asked me, because he gave me my life. Because like I said, 30 years ago, while I was in a cell looking at, you know, the next couple of years of incarceration, it was the first time in my life I was free. And we got to saying, I got it from Ken, I think, going to kick at the darkness till it bleeds the light is what we're doing. And I will wear out both my kneecaps, and I ain't got a whole lot left of them right now at that. But that's what we're on the road for doing. We've got more information back here, all the items back here, whatever we sell, Goat Soldier Farm. So if you have any questions, feel free to come back and talk to us. But thank you much for the opportunity.